Today, I am going to answer all of them questions you have sent in to me about being a writer, being an author, publishing books, and writing. I got so many questions, but a lot of the questions were sort of similar. So I have nailed them down. I have shortened them down to, I think we have 18 questions. Thank you everybody who sent in something. And it is the most fulfilling thing to know and hear and see that I have so many aspiring writers following me. It's super, super inspiring. You're asking me about self-publishing, and I had so many girls and guys saying they were trying to finish up their first book. And it's just so, I love that we have storytellers in the world. We need more storytellers, and I am proud to be one of you all. All right, let's just get into it. So I'm going to just jam on those questions. If I flowed out, I apologize. Okay, what is your writing process like? I don't really have a writing process. I think I have said this on my podcast before, but I would say this is the first time in my life that I actually consider myself an author first. Up until this point, I have always seen myself as a songwriter who just started to write books also. And that meant that my sort of main job each day was to work on my music. That was my main priority always. So usually then, all my other books, I have spent all day, every day working on music, writing songs for myself or for other people, working on productions, working on whatever project I was trying to finish up. And then when I sort of was done with that, in order to let it go and recharge, I used to go to the pub wherever I lived and just write journals, prose, stream of consciousness, journaling, essays, whatever came out. But that was sort of my way to let go of whatever I was thinking about or going through or whatever I had experienced during that day. So I really didn't have any process when it came to writing books. The books just sort of happened. I usually posted those writings from that night or at that pub or whatever on Tumblr or later on Instagram or on my website. And then when it came to publishing a book, it was more about, okay, I can see that I've gone through something specific now for a year or two. And I can see now that all those evening writings, they sort of have a red line in them. So this is actually those 2 years, I could collect those 2 years into this book. But I would say now it's changing. It's in the process of changing because I am, for the first time, definitely stepping into the role of being an author first. Maybe it's just a phase, who knows? Maybe it's just a season, but I do slowly start to see that I am embracing my literature side. And I feel very happy letting the songwriting take second place, at least for a little bit. I feel super inspired as an author. I have so many ideas and stories in my head, books I want to write and things I want to express. So I guess at this point, I am starting to develop a process. Usually it looks at this point, I write a lot in the mornings, the first thing I do when I wake up, and then in the evenings before I go to sleep. So what do I do with the other hours? That's a different story. Let's not talk about it. Okay, second question. Did you ever consider writing under a... this is a hard word for a Swedish person. Pseudonym? 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 A pseudonym? a ghost name, is what I say. I know what you mean. You all know what I mean. I mean, yes, I am releasing music under the Glass Child, which is a pseudonym, an artist name. Yes, I wish I had started publishing my books under a different name also. It's a mistake, and it's not a mistake, but if I could go back, I would never have released anything ever under my real personal name. Because the older I get, the more I treasure my privacy, the more I do realize how important it is. When you are trying to push your creations out to be public, it is super important to have a personal life that only belongs to me and nobody else. And when you put your real personal name out there, it's hard to feel like you have any personal space. You can Google my name and everything I have ever done will show up on the first page of Charlotte Erickson on Google. So if I go to a party and I'm like, oh, I'm Charlotte Erickson, and they go, I don't know why anybody would Google that, but if they would, like, everything I've created will pop up in my website and my books and my music. And that's beautiful. But at the same time, it is nice to be able to separate yourself sometimes, to be like, hello, my name is Jessica Johnson. And that's it. There's nothing stuck to that name. Yeah, that was a bad example, but you understand what I mean. If I would have released my books, let's say, under the Glass Child also, I would never have had to go out with Charlotte Erickson. Of course, it's not that I don't want anybody to know my name, but it's just the thing of that being, I can't meet friends without having my public, like, product names as my introduction. So long answer short, yes, it's still not too late. I have considered changing, like, the author name on upcoming books, but I don't know. There's another side to it, which is that I love being this personal, because that enables me to feel such a deep connection to everybody. I get messages from people who can relate to what I write about, and that is because I am so completely transparent and open. This is me as a human being, and this is what I'm going through in the world. And I want to know that people can relate so that I don't feel so alone in it. And if I would have sort of had a fictional name, I think it would be harder to relate just because of that. So, yeah. Yes and no. Okay, next question. Do you write whatever you want and feel like? Do you write whatever you want and feel like? Or do you try to deliver to readers what they want? Great question. I have always written with believing, thinking, knowing that nobody will ever read this. When I write my writings, I am not thinking about ever publishing it anywhere, ever posting it anywhere, showing it to anybody. I write to make sense of my own thoughts and life and what I'm going through and my own experiences. Then if I am sort of, when I write something and I'm like, oh, I feel like this is something I really am proud of. I like the way it flows. I like the way that I could put this into words. Or I really do think that people could relate to this. Or I really want to know that I am not alone in this. Then I publish it. But I never write trying to please anybody. I never write trying to think about what people want to read. I couldn't do that. If I did that, I don't think I would be a very good writer, because I was never good at taking orders. Okay. What other authors are you friends with and how do they help you become a better writer? I'm not like, none of my close friends are authors. I have obviously a lot of songwriter friends, but I don't think I know anybody who is a writer, which is a shame. I would love that. No, I actually don't have any like close friends that are authors. But if I had, I bet they would help me be a better writer. So that's a shame. Do you think someone could be a writer if they don't feel emotions strongly? Oh my God, I could riff on this forever. Yes, 100% yes. What I have experienced with my own stuff is that when I am going through something super intense, when I am really, really struggling, when I am in a lot of pain, when I'm just having a really tough time, I do not write well at all, music or books. It's like I am someone who gets so almost like paralyzed by pain, like internal pain. I can't function. I can't think straight. I have anxiety. It's just, I can't create anything beautiful when I am in pain. It is afterwards when I have had some space from that experience or that situation, I can see it from a perspective. I can sort of go back and digest it like in my thoughts. And that's where writing becomes so important to me, because it enables me to go back and rewrite what happened in a way that makes that I can change my own feelings towards it. I can write it so that I can highlight even the painful parts in a way that makes me see, oh, this had to happen, or it was so painful because there was so much love involved, or this thing had to fail because otherwise I would not have been able to learn this and go here. And it's like writing about the experience afterwards enables me to deal with it. And I do think writing is best when it's thoughtful and intelligent and it comes from a calm place. I have learned that writing in the state of being sort of high on emotions is never a good idea, because it just sounds immature. It sounds like I have no control over myself, and it's just not the sort of writing that I would ever want to read. So that being said, I do think being an artist of any kind, it is important to be able to have your emotions, you know, within grasp. Like, you have to be able to dissect what you're feeling and what you're thinking and why you're thinking this. You have to have something to say. But I think you can, you know, you don't have to be someone who is a drama queen like I tend to be. In order to be a good writer, you can just be super intelligent and super sophisticated and very, very smart and have a lot of empathy so that you understand other people's stories and emotions and angles. Yes, that's my final answer. How did publishing your first book change your process of writing? Oh, enormously, because when I published my first book back in 2011, I had no clue what I was doing. It was an experiment. It was a super exciting idea. That book was written not with any idea of writing a book. I wrote that book while living on the road in England, just fighting for my life to try to spread my music and be a songwriter. And the idea of putting those journals together to a book was more in the way of, okay, I'm releasing my first record, and it's so important for me that people know how this record was created. And the only way for people to know that is if I tell my story of trying to become a songwriter and making this album happen. So I really didn't know anything about publishing when I published my first book, but I am someone who is super dedicated to understanding the industry I am in and entering. So I did do a couple of internships at book publishing companies in England before I published that book. I definitely educated myself on formatting and editing and obviously storytelling and how to structure books and stories. But the more I have learned about the book marketing side of things, the book business, the just publishing and what people read and how they read and where they purchase books and in what countries my books click. And that's also something that's super important. You know, when you start out, you have no clue where in the world people will like what you do, or what age they will be in, or what they will work with, or what they will study. Now that I have done this for 10 years, and I have published 5 books, I have statistics on where in the world people tend to buy my books, how old they are, what they work with, what they study, what other artists or authors they read. And that helps me understand maybe when I published my first book, I took every interview request I could get because I just wanted exposure. While now I know I have a lot of readers in Netherlands and Belgium, for example. So that's where I'm going to focus my attention if I have to choose between doing an interview in Netherlands or in Canada. I'm going to do it in Netherlands because I have more readers there. So that also makes me, it doesn't change the way I write my books, but it changes the way that I publish them and bring them out for sure. Then obviously, you become a better writer the older you get. The more you write, the more you read, the more you live, the more you experience. So the process of writing books changes after every book, but that probably doesn't have so much to do with learning publishing, I think. The editing, maybe. I'm definitely editing more now than I did in the beginning. Yes. Do you want each book to stand on its own, or are you trying to build a body of work with connections between each book? Such a good question. My books definitely stand on their own. You can pick up any of my books and you don't have to know who I am, what I've been through, or what the other books are about. And I hope you can enjoy that book. But I do think I am writing about my experience, my journey through life. I'm documenting my own journey of growing up and trying to create something of myself and trying to build a life that I'm excited about. And in that process, I am stumbling upon experiences with relationships and with work and with people and with finding a home in the world. And I'm writing about this. So I do think if you read my entire body of work from the first book to now the fifth book, first of all, you're going to see how a 20-year-old girl writes the first book and shares her perspective on the world. And then you're going to see how a 30-year-old woman shares her perspective on the world in the last book. And those are two different people. It's me, but my way of viewing the world has changed. And that's what I absolutely love about what I do, that I get to document my real journey through life without trying to please anybody. I'm just sharing what I'm going through. And that's what I love in other people's books, sort of having a friend there out there, knowing that other people are going through their lives and dealing with those things. And I'm probably going to deal with that thing at some point too. And now I can learn from this person. And, you know, that's why it's also so important to me. Every time that I do like a restock of one of my books, I always have a moment when I go into the manuscript and I start editing it. So many times I have wanted to, when I needed to reprint You're Doing Just Fine, for example. That was published 2014 or 15. I can't really remember. So that's 5 or 6 years ago now. How old are we? Six or seven years old. 6 or 7 years ago. And, you know, I definitely have become a better writer since then. And so many times when I needed to reprint that, I started going back in the manuscript and editing and cutting things out and adding things and feeling like I wouldn't say it like this now. I would say it like that. And then every time I have to stop myself and be like, yes, but 24-year-old you saw it like this and wrote it like this. So if you now go in and change it to a 30-year-old's perspective, this book is not the same. So don't do it. I want that book to reflect how I saw relationships and life then. And I think that's important, because if a 24-year-old girl out there picks this book up, I want him or her to feel like a friend is talking to her. Like, oh, there's another person out there going through the same things as I am. And there's wisdom in youth, always. I go back, read things I wrote 10 years ago, and I'm like, whoa, I needed that reminder, because you tend to get cynical and boring as you grow up. Okay, let's move on. How many hours a day do you write? This is a guilty question. Not enough. I definitely don't write many hours a day. I would say 1 or 2 hours in the morning, 1 or 2 hours in the evening, but that's on good days. The thing is, I write in like the heat of the moment. Something is building up and I write, and I'm in my bubble for 30 minutes and nothing can disturb me. But after that, I'm exhausted. I cannot, it's not like a job to me. I can't sit and write from 9 to 5. I don't do that. So not so many hours a day. Although like songwriting is obviously super different than, definitely if I'm in a writing session for another artist, we can sit for 15 hours. That's a lie. Definitely not. We could maybe sit for 9 hours. We could sit for maybe 9 hours and try to finish a song or lyrics. What did you edit out of your new book? He loved me some days. I'm sure he did. A lot. That book was super thick. I definitely edited out. The book that is now published is probably half the size of what it originally was. And the reason I did that, and that's always how, that's probably what I have learned from just becoming a better writer and understanding publishing, that you have to kill your darlings, always. If this sentence, this writing is not contributing to the bigger story that you're telling with the book, scratch it, cut it out. It's not necessary. I don't ever want sort of fillers in my books. I don't want to just have a writing there to make the book thicker, or I don't know. I want every single sentence in the book to mean something, to add something, to change the perspective, to do something. And since I am writing almost every day, in the end, I had this manuscript and I was really sort of strict on myself. I read through it and I asked myself, if I cut this piece out, will something be lost in the book? And if the answer was no, then it goes. Then I cut it out. So a lot. I edited out a lot. If you didn't write, what would you do for work? Well, this is sort of a complicated question because I don't really see it as I write for as my job. There are other things that I... So it's like I have several different revenue streams and together they can pay my rent and fund the next record. But it's not just selling my books that pay my rent and funds another album or another book. I have my Patreon. There I try to post things at least once a month, acoustic demos or new writings or video diaries or something else. Then I do my stage concerts. Then I obviously sell merch and stuff. I'm always working on music. I am in writing sessions for other artists. I write music for other artists at least once or twice a week. And then I am running a record label. I am running a small press book company. And with that comes a lot of marketing and PR and advertising and accounting and admin stuff and email and merch requests and bookkeeping. It is a full-time job to run two companies. So if you didn't write, what would you do for work? Well, if I had to stop writing, I would still be able to do a lot of other things. For example, I would sign other authors to Broken Glass Records and help them get their books out. There are so many talented storytellers out there and poets, spoken word poets, visual storytellers, photographers. I would definitely want to work with other writers and publish their books. I would definitely still keep being a songwriter for other people. And being like some sort of all over strategist for other creatives. But I also could imagine becoming a farmer somewhere far out in the forest and have a little hut and live on self-sufficient on my land. And or I could imagine being a swimming instructor on Ibiza. There are so many things I would do. Okay, do you read your book reviews? How do you deal with bad or good ones? I used to read my book reviews and I had to stop because they made me want to stop writing. It's terrible getting bad reviews. It's awful. And especially when you're publishing books that are so raw and honest and you know, straight from my own experience in life. And someone says, this was disappointing. I don't get it. This writer is really a bad writer and she has nothing to say and this is a weird life and it's super hard, so hard to read, and it definitely makes me cry and it definitely makes me want to not write anymore. So I have stopped. I had to stop reading my reviews. Then the other way around, the good reviews mean so much. They make me so inspired and motivated. So it's hard because obviously if I don't read the reviews, I will not see the good ones. But it's a balance. Okay, I have three more questions. Do you hide any secrets in your books that only a few people will find? See, this is awesome. There are definitely very, very personal hints in there that only the person that this writing is about, only he or she will understand. So it can be like, if I'm mentioning a specific fruit or a specific city or a specific color or a specific smell, usually that is because this person and I, he or she will get it. I know in my very first book, me and this person that I wrote a lot of writings about, it was something about cucumber. It's so long ago, I can't remember, but he didn't like cucumber, I think, and we had jokes about that. And so I mentioned cucumber, and it sounds so silly now. But it's small things like that, because it makes me feel like this is a very personal letter to this person. But it also, I like writings when it's very specific and personal. So I'm trying to leave in those details, for sure. Do you Google yourself? I do Google myself, but only to see if my website has good SEO. I'm trying to be on top of my SEO. That's why I Google my name, to make sure that you find what you want to find. Actually, I am very much into, like, making sure that people can find my books if they want to find them. And it's interesting because a lot of people spell my last name wrong. Erickson is spelled with K-S-S. And a lot of people search for Charlotte Erickson Books, but with C-K-S or something. And so that's where I need to make sure that even if someone is spelling my name wrong, they will land on my website and find my books, because they're obviously searching for my books. Then a lot of people search for "you're doing just fine, free PDF." And then it's my job to make sure that nobody is leaking my book for free, because then I will not be able to pay my rent and keep writing books. So that's why I Google myself. Okay, last question. What does literary success look like to you? I want to make an impact on people. I have always said that I don't care about building a bigger audience. I want to go deeper into the audience I already have. I'd rather have 10 people read my books and that they feel like this book changed something for me. It felt like I have a friend out there. It changed the way I think about something. It added some sort of beauty to my day. It gave me comfort, whatever it might be. I'd rather have that than a million people reading my books and just sort of saying, "Oh, it's all right, on to the next." So it's like, that's why I love being independent, because it enables me to really develop real relationships with my audience instead of just being put on a billboard and having people know my face, but not so much more than that. So literary success to me looks like, changing something for people. But then, of course, it is really hard to pay your rent and pay for food and like make a living doing what I do. So obviously my goal would be to be able to come to a point where I don't have to be worried about finances and worried about the next rent and worried about being able to make another album or so. I also would love to at some point publish a book on a bigger book publishing house, so that I can get to, mostly because that would enable me to actually interact with high profile writers, and I think that would develop me as a writer a lot, and hopefully find more people that I could reach with my books. All right, I think that's it, you guys. Thank you so much for sending in questions, for being beautiful and supportive, and for having read my book, hopefully. I always get questions, and I get sort of the same questions usually about writing on Instagram or Twitter. So I am not super good at answering all those questions. That's why I'd rather collect them and do those sort of Q&A episodes like this, because I love talking about writing. So I hope you enjoyed it. Please send me follow-up questions. If I don't answer it right away, I definitely will keep them for a follow-up Q&A episode. So let me know what you think, and I love you. Bye-bye.